Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Right, the clock starts now. 30 minutes. Here we go. Yeah, right there. Please open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 5. It's in your bulletin. However, I highly recommend that you open your own Bible, whether paper or digital. It will help you as we're going to refer to other portions of Luke today. Let's go ahead and read the scripture together, starting at verse 17. Oh, yeah, let me start it. I'll go from 17 until 19, and then go ahead and read with me from 20 to 27. So let me begin. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Let's read together. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been laying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." The very word of God. Amen. Jesus didn't say it, but he could read their hearts and their minds, and he knew what they were thinking. I cannot read your hearts or your minds, but I will say this. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, "Oh, this is a sermon about evangelism. This is a message about witnessing and testifying and sharing your faith to your friends." Because if you are a Christian or you've been around church for any number of times, you have very likely heard this story before, right? And the reason why you've likely heard this story before is this story has been told three times in the four Gospels, in Matthew chapter 9, Mark chapter 2, and here in Luke chapter 5. So any preacher who says they are a preacher of the gospel has preached this before. And always, every time you hear it, it's the friends, the four friends. Their faith, their love, their tenacity, their creativity, their actions, you know? their passion to help their friend and bring him to, and you should be like their friend, and you should look at your people around you, and you should be creative and be tenacious and do all you can to climb roofs and bring people to Jesus. But I have news today. This story is about Jesus. And I'll tell you why. It's a very complicated theological reason. The reason this story is about Jesus is because that's the only name you find written in this story. You don't hear the name of the man is not there. The name of the four friends is not there. You don't know the names of the Pharisees, the teachers. It's only Jesus. It's always Jesus. Yeah? It's all about Jesus. So, there's from verse 17 to verse 26 or 27. I can't remember. 26. So, verse 17 to verse 26. So, 10 verses. And if you notice, even in your bulletin, or even up there, or even in your own Bible, right in the middle of that story are Jesus' words. His words, from the very beginning, he says to the man who is paralyzed, he says, friend, anthropoi, human, that's what he says, ningen, your sins are forgiven you. I don't have much time. We're going to talk about those words today. Now, if you haven't read Luke, especially in from chapter 4, those words, friend, your sins are forgiven you, your sins are forgiven, they don't have so much punch. The impact is lost. I'll tell you why. From chapter 4, Jesus begins his public ministry. He goes to a synagogue and he reads the scroll from Isaiah. Says, the blind can see, the lame can walk, the prisoners are set free, and Jesus says to the people, "Today, this scripture from Isaiah is fulfilled." In other words, I'm the one this scripture is talking about. And then he performs three miracles. Okay? Now, in these three miracles, Jesus speaks. And he speaks directly to the need of each miracle. For example, the first one, he sees a man who he's possessed by a demon. So he performs an exorcism. And, you know, they come to the man and the demons speak to Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, we know who you are. Have you come to torture us? You know, the demons are talking to him. And he says, quiet. Okay? And then he just says, get out. And the demons leave. They have to obey him. He speaks directly to the need. The second thing, he goes to his disciples' house, Peter, and his mother-in-law, Peter's mother-in-law, has a fever. She's sick. And so Jesus goes to his mother-in-law, and he speaks. We don't know what he says. It just says he rebuked the fever, okay? I don't know if he said, in my name, I rebuke you, fever, and leave her, or, I don't know. He just rebuked the fever. He spoke directly to the need of the fever. Yeah? And then the next one after that is an amazing story. He's walking on the road. He hears somebody calling out to him, Jesus, son of David. And he goes to the man, and it's a man who is sick with a skin disease, leprosy. And Jesus, he looks at the man, he gets down, and he says, what would you like me to do for you? And the man says to Jesus, he's got skin disease, you know, spots all over his skin coming off, sores, blood, pus coming out. He says, Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And you know what Jesus says? He says, I'm willing. And then he says, be clean. Just two words, be clean. It's actually one word. And we see that in these three miracles, who is Jesus helping? Who is Jesus bringing the gospel? Who is Jesus showing the kingdom of heaven to? He's bringing the gospel to the outsiders, the weak, the poor, a woman who is elderly, a man who is diseased, a man who is mentally insane, as people would say these days, or with a demon. He doesn't go to the rich, the powerful, the wealthy, the influential. He goes to those who need him, the outsiders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's the power of the gospel. The gospel says, come, the Father's arms are open wide. Now, we get to the words, friend, your sins are forgiven. Do you see what happens now? He's spoken to the needs, be clean, rebukes the fever, tells the demon, get out, okay? So these are the things he says. And so now we're in this house, full house, wall to wall, not like here, okay? But people are just kind of, you know, they're all like in sardines sitting like this. They're listening to Jesus preach, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who, you know, and those who hear my words and do what I say will build their house on the rock. And that, you know, he's just preaching the gospel. He's teaching theology. People are listening to him. And then in the middle of it, boom, 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 scratch, 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 dust is falling down, right? And everybody says, what is going on? And oh my goodness, the whole, you know, there's a hole, and not a small hole, but a big enough hole for a human to fit through. This big. Jesus, what is he doing? Probably watching and laughing, you know. He's probably going, yeah, let's do this. And the men, you know, lower their friend down, and it says they put him right in front of Jesus, right there. What's he going to say? Up until this time, Jesus has been rebuking fevers, speaking to demons, cleansing lepers. Everybody knows. Jesus, what are you going to say? Are you going to say, legs, get up? Is he going to say, your body is whole? Is he going to say, I put you together. I don't know, you know, resurrection. What is he going to say? Is he going to talk to the legs, the feet, the hands? He looks all around and he says, anthropoi, human, your sins are forgiven. Okay? They were expecting a word of power. Jesus gives them a word of authority. See that? Show us your power. Show us your magic. Show us what you can do. Jesus says, this is who I am. Right? And they're freaking out. He flipped it on them. Right? And that's how you should react if you're reading from Luke chapter 4. Friends, your sins are forgiven. Oh, those are some powerful words. What is Jesus saying? Why doesn't Jesus just say, get up, take up your mat, and go home? Well, why doesn't he just say that? This is what we need to hear. This is our message. We need to hear our sins are forgiven. The man's problem was his paralysis. He had a physical need, material need. But Jesus knows, oh, he knows. That's not the problem. That's the symptom of the problem. Hear me. I watched the news all this week. Governments are at war. Politicians are lying to us, to each other. Everybody's afraid of this disease coming. People are addicted to drugs. There's murder, there's shooting, there's violence. There's natural disaster, there's fires and volcanoes and earthquakes, lions and tigers and bears. Oh my, right? That was just last week. But when you think about it, go back 1 year, 2019, January. What's on the news? Governments are at war. Politicians are lying. There's disease and illness. There's natural disasters. Okay, go back not 1 year, go back 100 years. What's happening? Governments are at war. Politicians are lying. There's disease and illness. People are killing each other, violence and destruction, right? Go back 2,000 years. It's the same thing. If you can't say amen, you can say out. Now, so Jesus is saying something to us. The problem is not Japan versus North Korea. The problem isn't America versus Iran, India versus Pakistan. The problem is not an opioid addiction crisis, sexual addiction. The problem is not mental illness and physical. The problem is not lack of education. Those are not the problem. Those are the symptoms. Right? Now listen, I'm not saying this lightly. I just told you about my aunt. We just prayed for the statins. We were praying for the ill in Miwa. Right? Sickness and poverty and corruption, those are real. And those are not to be taken. My friend just last week had to bury his own son. So I'm not speaking on this lightly. But Jesus is speaking to us and he's saying, those are just the surface. There's a deeper, deeper problem that I came here to fix. The problem is this. Yes, your legs are broken. Yes, your arms don't move. Yes, there is the weather is going crazy. Yes, these people we can't trust. But it goes deeper than that, and you need to go deeper than that. You are separated from God. And because you're separated from God, you're separated from your purpose as a human being. And you're separated from yourself. And you're cut off and you're alienated from each other. All because you're cut off from God. It's your sin. What is sin? Is it something that somebody did to you? Is it something that you do to yourself? Well, here the man is paralyzed. We don't know why he's paralyzed. He could be born paralyzed. It's likely he's not. He has friends trying to help him. You know, the story goes, there's a pastor, and in his church was a man who was very weak. He couldn't walk straight. He fell a lot. He always went to the hospital. He's coughing all the time. So the pastor, you know, he tried to help him. Every Sunday, he would bring him to church, pick him up at his house, take him home. They would eat meals together. The pastor would help him. Eventually, the man became a Christian and trusted Jesus Christ with his life. And then he had to move to another city. But he wrote to the pastor a letter, and they began a correspondence to each other. And finally, the pastor asked, you know, I never asked you, what's the reason for your condition? Why are you so weak? What's wrong with your bones and your organs? Were you born this way? And the man wrote back a very honest answer. He said, this is what happened. I was young. I was wild. It's crazy. I was messing around with women and living a violent life. And Of course, taking drugs and alcohol was controlling me. I was terrible. And so one day, I'm on my motorcycle. I miss the turn. I fly off the road, and I hit a pole. My body was wrapped around a pole. And so now I went to the hospital. They saved my life, but my bones don't work. My organs don't work. I have no one to blame. I did this to myself. There's no one to point a finger to. This was my sin. And this is how I am. And that maybe that's where the paralyzed man was. And you know what? I think maybe some of us, if we are honest and we look in the mirror, we say, there's no one to blame but me. It's my responsibility. That's what sin is. Jesus knows. And Jesus looks at the faith of his friends. And he sees maybe a small bit of faith in the man. Maybe. It doesn't say. But Jesus, why would Jesus say it if it wasn't there? And he says, yeah, your body needs healing. But listen, friends, I got 10 minutes left. I got to go to this. God is not as interested in healing your body as much as he is interested in healing your whole self. Amen? Yes, your circumstances need to change. Yes, you've come to church because of a situation. And you want to see Jesus, you need Jesus, and you need to come to House of Prayer to fix, alleviate, bring comfort, find peace about this situation, this circumstance. I know. That's the same reason they came to that house. Half those people came to the house to use Jesus. That's what they were there for. He's a miracle worker. He takes out demons. Oh, he rebukes the fever. He healed a lot. Let's maybe he can fix us. They want to use Jesus. That's half. The other half, they want to criticize, analyze. They're the Pharisees, the teachers. Is he saying the right theology? Is he teaching the correct doctrine? Is this the right teaching? So half is there to criticize, half is there to use Jesus. And you know what Jesus does? He loves them. He serves them by giving them a message. You need forgiveness. And the thing is, you can't do it yourself. You came here, you know you can't do it yourself. But here's the problem. A lot of us who want to use Jesus, especially the religious people, we'll come to Jesus to use him so we can save ourselves. If you can't say amen, we'll try to come, give us some Jesus, give me a blessing. I'll take what I need and do this myself. I'll be my own savior, maybe with a little help. Don't make that mistake, friends. Don't do that. Jesus is saying, I've come because you can't do it yourself. You think this story is about friends opening up the ceiling, lowering down their friend down to the Son of God. No. Do you see it? God saw our needs. He opened up the heavens. He lowered down his Son. Right? He lowered down the gospel. He saw our need. And he healed us by giving his Son our sin. Right? That's what this story is. Because we cannot do it ourselves. You cannot save yourself. And you cannot use God to save yourself. Let me give you an illustration to help us see this better. There's a story of a little boy named Eustace. It's by C.S. Lewis. Eustace was just a bad boy. He was mean, selfish. Everybody hated him. He hated everybody, okay? He was not happy. The only time Eustace is happy is if everybody is unhappy, right? That's the one he's happy. So One day, he's on a boat, and he's in the magical land of Narnia, and the ship takes him to an island. He arrives on the island, and he's exploring the place, and he finds treasure, gold, jewels, crowns, money. And he thinks to himself, yes, now I can pay everyone back. Everyone who stepped on me, I can now step on them. Everyone who was mean to me, now I can be mean. I have the money. I have the gold. I have... So he's on this treasure, and he's thinking these thoughts, and he falls asleep because it's a magical treasure, of course. It's a dragon's treasure, dragon's hoard. And as he's thinking these dragonish thoughts, he wakes up, and he finds he has been transformed. He has dark skin. It's hard, scaly. He looks at his hands, claws. He has been transformed into a dragon. He's panicking in this whole episode, going, wow, what can I do? How do I change back? So he meets Aslan, the lion of Narnia. Aslan comes to him. He says, Eustace, you need to change. You want to change, you have to take off the dragon suit. You have to undress, and here's this pool of clean water. You need to jump in there and wash yourself. So Eustace, what he does, he starts with his big teeth. He starts biting and clawing it, and he's biting his own skin, and he's taking off his skin. And he does some of it, and he puts it onto the side. He looks at himself. He's still a dragon. So he bites even more. He scratches even more. He claws more. And he takes more skin off, puts it to the side. Still a dragon. Does it one more time. Can't do it. So finally he looks at Aslan, and Aslan just smiles. He says, you have to let me do it. And Eustace, he's been trying three times. He couldn't do it. So finally he says, okay. And Aslan takes that giant claw. And Eustace says that when that first time he tears into me, it's like he tore right into my heart. I felt like I was going to die. But after he finished, he put the old skin down next to the others. And he saw the skin that Aslan took out. It was darker, thicker, more hard than all the other ones that he tried. And before he knew it, Aslan picked him up, threw him into the water. Shmita. It stung. But just a little bit for the first part. And then when he came out of the water, he was a boy. He was transformed. He couldn't do it. He had to let Aslan do it. My friends, the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. He is the Lord of all earth. He can transform us back to what we ought to have been. He is the change. He is the Lord. He is the Master. I know you have many masters, you have many guides and many teachers. Jesus is the Grand Master. Amen. Let him transform you. Let him change you. Let him heal you. Let him forgive your sins. So that's what you do. I know you've come to church for a transaction. And you're thinking, okay, yeah, yeah, God, give me peace, give me holiness, give me love, give me forgiveness, and I'll take it. Jesus came not for your transaction, but for your transformation. Come to him. Come to the altar. Come to Jesus. Come to your grandmaster. You've wrapped your life around the pole. And you've tried to help yourself and save yourself, even with a little Jesus. No, 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 no. Jesus paid it all. Give all of yourself to him. Ah, and watch yourself be healed. Be transformed. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Father God, we humble ourselves before you. You bring down the proud, but you raise up the humble. So, Father, for all of us here who have no righteousness in and of ourselves, Jesus Christ, be our righteousness, we pray. Father, I pray for those who need healing, not only in their body, but also in their heart, in their mind, in their soul. Please, God, make me whole. Let me walk out a new man. Transform me, and I will be transformed. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we all rise as we sing our closing song?